We are starting a series this evening. We're going to be similar in format to what we did in the fall with our evangelism training, titled Theology for Life. It's good to see Vance and Cherry Kirkpatrick here tonight. They heard about this new series and they came in from Africa. Is that not awesome? They were so excited. It is great to see you guys. Hope y'all are doing well. But we're going to talk about, and before you go to sleep, when you hear the word doctrine or theology, I know people start kind of getting queasy. We titled it Theology for Life because what we're going to look at tonight and over the next few weeks, I think I know it's very, very, very important. If you have your notebooks, follow along with me. We'll fill in the blanks. We'll have scriptures on the screens to help you too. But we're looking tonight at the fundamentals of the Christian faith. What are some non-negotiables that people who are followers of Jesus Christ, what are some things that we need to agree on? I mean, we have to agree that these things are true. In fact, as a church, you don't ever want a minister who's not going to buy into the things that we're going to see this evening. And we don't want you teaching Bible study. We'll love you and we'll let you hand out bulletins, but we don't want you teach it if you don't buy into and believe these basic fundamentals of the faith. And again, what we'll do in the weeks ahead is we will take a lot of these things and we will dive into them deeper. But let's begin with this. Our English word theology, your first blank there, theology, is made up of two Greek words. Our English word theology, theos, God, and ology, the study of. Biology is the study of what? Biological life, right? Bios, physical life. Ology, study of. Theology is the study of God. Theology is the study of God. In a broader sense, it is the study of God and the things of God. When we talk about theology, theology in a broader sense is the study of God and the things of God. Now, Muslims, Jewish people, people of different faiths, Christians, we all have a theology, a view of God and a study of God. We're obviously looking at it from a Christian perspective. And I want to answer this question because I think this is huge to whether you decide to come back in the future and how much you buy into this. Does theology, or do theology, beliefs, and doctrine matter? Does theology, the study of God, beliefs and doctrines matter? I mean, really, wouldn't you rather just talk about being nice to your neighbor because that's more practical? I want to share with you this evening that they matter more than you can imagine. What you believe ultimately determines what you do. What you believe ultimately determines what you do. Let's pause there. How many of you agree with that statement? Now, many of us don't do what we believe is right, but we hopefully feel conviction and know that's wrong, right? But ultimately, you are going, and I am going to do what comes from our belief system. So theology and beliefs and doctrine, they matter tremendously. I don't remember if it was in the year 2004 or 2005, there was a movement among churches in America called the Emerging Church. And the emerging church, some of its leaders said, we're not really into beliefs and what people believe. We're just trying to get together and to be warm and fuzzy and cuddle. And what you believe is not important. And Rick Warren, who's a pastor in Saddleback Church in California, the purpose-driven life man, said the emerging church movement will die a quick death, because what you believe is everything. How many of you have ever heard of the emerging church movement? A few. When was the last time you heard of it? Many years ago, because what you believe is everything. Can you imagine hiring a preacher and your pulpit committee is silly enough to interview him and your church is silly enough to hire him and you don't know what he believes? And believe me, that happens in churches. And you know what the end result is? A train wreck. What you believe is tremendously important. Tonight, we're going to look at the fundamentals of Christian theology. of Christian theology, the fundamentals, the basics. Again, and we'll dive in these things deeper in the days ahead. Next Wednesday night, we're going to leave your notebooks at home. We're going to baptize. We're going to have our prayer service. We're going to do the Lord's Supper. It's going to be a great night. Then the first Sunday back, or first Wednesday in February, we will be diving into this study wholeheartedly. But let's begin with the fundamentals. I'm going to list you about 10 or 11 things this evening that are absolutely basic to Christian theology. And our Christian theology comes from that. Number one, I put, is the Bible. Now, theologians would debate, and rightly so, what's the most important thing in Christian theology? Is it the understanding of God, or is it the understanding of the Bible? And it can be both. They might be tied. But I put Bible first, and I'll try to explain to you what the understanding God in the Bible are the first keys to a proper theology. And while we're starting with the Bible, it's from the Bible we clearly learn who God is. Would you agree with that? It's from the Bible we clearly learn who God is. Vance and Cherry were missionaries, still are missionaries in Africa, been for many years. Vance and Cherry, when people create their own view of God, it gets weird quick, doesn't it? So the Bible gives us the view of God. It gives us the view of God. Understanding about the Bible determines what we believe about the things of God in the Bible. Again, we'll look at this more in the days ahead, so I'm touching on these things briefly. 2 Timothy 3:6. Listen to what the Bible says about itself. Some scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Did you hear anything wrong that I just said? Some. It doesn't say some, does it, Reggie? It says all scripture. All scripture is breathed out by God. Now, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? The Bible says that all scripture is breathed out by God. And if God breathed it out, I think you would agree with me, it's truth, isn't it? It's perfect truth. In 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, very powerful words. Knowing this, first of all, no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For prophecy was never produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along, led along, directed along by the Holy Spirit. Man, that is a super, super important verse. In other words, what he's saying is no scripture, nothing in the Bible is there because some man thought it up. That it was given to men as they were carried along, directed, superintended by the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you this evening, if you're a Christian, that's pretty important, isn't it? If you're exploring Christianity, that's very important. Because the Bible says that it is the Word of God. Listen, it doesn't say it contains the Word of God. It says it is the Word of God. You notice a little difference there? Are the red letters in your Bible more important than the black letters? No. Let me tell you, originally in the Greek and Hebrew, there wasn't red letter anyway. The Bible is the Word of God. What you believe about the Bible ultimately determines what you believe about theology and follow God. Let's stop real quick. And if you can talk loud, speak up. We're going to cut you after about 5 minutes if you start to ramble. Do you understand why what you believe about the Bible, everything flows from that? Does that make sense? No? Yes? Jeremy, if I don't really believe the Bible is the Word of God, everything's up for debate, isn't it? Everything else we're fixing to look at is up for debate if the Bible's not the Word of God. Right? So theology starts with your understanding and your belief in what you believe the Scriptures are. Here's the second thing, and that's God. that would make sense that when we're going to look at theology, we'd talk about God, wouldn't we? The Bible clearly tells us who God is and how to relate to it. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Do Jewish people believe that? They do. Do Muslims believe that? Absolutely. Do Christians believe that? Yes. Now, wait a second. Don't we believe in the Trinity? Don't we? But do we have three gods or do we have one God? We have one God. We have one God who has made himself known to us in three ways. Say this with me. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have one God who's made himself known to us in three ways. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Probably in 2 weeks we will look in detail in this. And we will never figure it out this side of heaven. But we can accept by faith what the Scriptures teaches. 2 Corinthians 13:14 is a neat little passage. In this one verse you see the Trinity exposed. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of who? The Holy Spirit be with you all. Now you may have read that 100 times in your Bible studies. It's easy to just read. That's the last verse in the book. You always skip over the first and the last, don't you? But isn't that neat? In that one verse you see our God who is one but who has made himself known to us in three ways. Okay, you agree that the Bible and knowing, understanding God would be important to your life. Number three, people. People. People are a big equation in theology because God created us, didn't he? In fact, we are all created in the image of God. The theological weight, the psychological weight, the social, ethical, moral weight that carries is gigantic. Genesis 1:26-27. Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, let us. Now, pause. Do you see that? God says, let us. Isn't that neat? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man. Read that out loud with me. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male, female. Do you realize that one verse alone rocks America today, doesn't it? Kathleen, we watched your video that was very good Sunday morning. Ryan had some critiques. He was going to tell you when to do it better when you got home. But Kathleen, our view of people and the baby in the womb starts with that, doesn't it? That we're all created in the image of God. But we're all sinners, aren't we? Dadgum, Adam and Eve blew it for us, didn't they? We'd be walking around the garden eating with no calories and playing with lions and leopards. Romans 3:23 says, for all women have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It does say that. It says all men too, doesn't it? For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, who sinned? All of us. Hey, understanding who you are, what the Bible says, is that you are created in the image of God. There's nobody on this planet more valuable than you are. But we're all broken, aren't we? And that's the last part of this, but God loves every one of us deeply. God loves every one of us deeply. The favorite passage of so many people, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The world means sum total of individuals. You don't have to doubt that you're a part of that. So love means what you think it does, that God loves you intimately and deeply. We're sinners, we're broken, but we didn't lose the image of God. We got a cracked image, but we are created in the image of God, and Jesus, God, loves us deeply. Here's the fourth thing, and that's the virgin birth. The virgin birth. Fundamentals of theology. Would you be uncomfortable if your Sunday school teacher told you next December they did not believe in the virgin birth? Would that bother you? I hope it would bother you tremendously. Matthew 1:23, behold the virgin, and that word literally means someone who has not had sex, shall conceive and bear a son. They will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Luke 1:34, Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? I always think it's funny. The first one to doubt the virgin birth was not some theologian in a library. It was Mary. Mary said, how can I have a baby? I've never had sex. Mary was young, but she knew that. Let's pause for a second. Why is believing in the virgin birth so crucial? Or is it? I hear one yes. Yes, I hear two yeses. Everything about who Jesus is comes from this, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Absolutely it does. So it's not a secondary issue. It's a fundamental of our faith. Here's the fifth thing. The deity of Christ. The deity of Christ. That Jesus Christ is and was God. In Matthew 1:23, again, it says, behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I love John 1:1. John 1:1 is such a statement verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is Jesus, if you read the rest of this chapter. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You can't get a hold of this in your intellectual heads, and that's what trips up people. But when Jesus was on earth, he was 100% God. He's always been God. He didn't lose his deity when he came to earth. Does that make sense? Well, I don't understand it. Good. You'll never understand it. Don't wait till you understand it. But that's huge. So do you agree that's an important part of our faith? Yeah. Here's the sixth thing, the full humanity of Christ. We go full circle. Not only was Jesus deity, God, but the full humanity of Christ. Jesus walked on earth 100% God and also 100% man. One of Jesus' favorite titles for himself was the Son of Man. I am the Son of Man, the Son of Man. One of Jesus' favorite titles for himself was the Son of Man. The Son of Man was identifying him as being human. Probably most of us who grew up in church haven't struggled with Jesus being God, right? We struggle with him being man. You agree with me? All right, you don't have to raise your hands, but I want you to think about this. We're going to look at it in a minute about Jesus sinning and not sinning. How many of you believe Jesus could have sinned? I do. He was 100% man, wasn't he? He was. We struggle buying into that because we see him post-resurrection 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago, the people, his brothers, his family, didn't struggle with Jesus being human. They struggled with him being deity, right? Number seven, the sinless life of Christ. The sinless life of Christ. Jesus was God. Jesus was man. Can't understand that. But he lived a sinless life. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. I love everybody in this room, but you know what? That could never be said about us, could it? That we knew no sin. He knew no sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Could Jesus have sinned? I absolutely believe he could have. Hebrews 2:18 says, but he suffered when he was tempted like we suffer. And he understands our struggles. But Jesus lived a sinless life, and that was made him the perfect sacrifice. Okay, pause for a second. Do you think that's important, whether or not Jesus sinned? You bet. I'm still going back to the Christmas sermon series. I don't know why Joseph and Mary didn't spank him when they came back at 12 and found him in the temple. You know, he'd been playing around 3 days later. How many of you would have spanked your kid? I remember when I was little, my dad, I used to threaten to run away. I think that was draw sympathy. He said, if you do, when we get you, we're going to tear you up. I was discouraged from running away, a fear of getting spanked. Isn't that amazing? But Jesus' parents did not spank him when they caught him 4 days later in the temple. Number eight, his literal atoning death. His literal atoning death. Does it matter whether Jesus really died on the cross? I mean, he had to die at some point, or he's 2021 or whatever. That, you know, there's a theory called the swoon theory. How many of you have heard of the swoon theory? The swoon theory was that Jesus didn't die on the cross. He was knocked out. They took him down and they put him in that cool cave tomb. And a couple days later, he woke up and pushed the rock out and walked out. The swoon theory is baloney theory. Matthew 27:50. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and he yielded up his spirit. Yielding up his spirit is politically correct for saying he what? He died. He died. Jesus literally died on the cross. He literally died on the cross. And his death was to pay for our sins. For our sins. It's literal and atoning. In other words, it paid the price for your sins and my sin. Theology doesn't get any more important. 1 John 2:2, I love this verse. He is the propitiation. He is the atoning sacrifice. He's the substitute. He paid the price for our sins. But not only our sins, but for the sins of who? The whole world. Wow, that's great. Listen, he literally died on the cross for me. I want to tell you, that matters. That matters. Number nine of fundamentals. Christ literally arose from the dead. Obviously, a lot of people don't believe this, but this is fundamental to Christian theology. What would you do if you had a preacher that came, I'm on vacation in the Alps snow skiing, and the deacons pick a preacher, which we wouldn't let them, but let's say they did in fantasy world. I'm trying to be funny to you guys. And so the preacher gets up and he says, Jesus didn't really arise from the dead. You know, they were so happy and so wishful that they thought they saw him and it motivated them and it just really got them excited. Would that bother you? It ought to bother you enough to tell him to leave right then. Matthew 28:9-10. It says, and behold, Jesus met them. This is after the crucifixion. And said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet. You can't hold a ghost. That's my assumption. I've never encountered one that I know of. But I've seen the movies. And they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. A dead Savior cannot save anyone, right? A dead Savior or a dead person is an inspiration, but they're not going to save you today. But a living Lord can save everyone, right? So the death and the resurrection matter tremendously. Here's number 10, the literal second coming of Christ. The literal second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to earth the first time as a baby, right? Literally, physically, correct? Bible says, and that he is coming again. He went back, and he's coming again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead and Christ will rise first. The second coming is not a figurative idea, but a literal biblical truth. Would you hire a preacher who didn't believe in this literal second coming? I hope not. Bible teaches it plain as day. The second coming. And you know what? In about 7 or 8 weeks on down the road, we're going to look at the different views of the end of times, and I'm going to try to make you mad and confuse you. Won't that be fun? Because we like to argue about the end of times, right? I can't wait till I get to heaven. Some of my former church members who are in heaven who disagreed with me. When we get up there, I'm going to be able to tell them I was right. They're waiting on me to tell me that, I'm sure. By the way, something's wrong when you want to get to heaven so you can tell people you were right, correct? Number 11, Jesus is the only way to God in heaven. This is Christian theology. It's what Christian theology teaches. Jesus is the only way to God in heaven. True Christian theology doesn't dismiss or belittle anyone who disagrees with any of these things. But Christian theology rises and falls on this. I don't want you to raise your hands, but what do you believe about this? John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, the Jewish leaders talking to the other Jewish leaders, Peter and John talking to the Pharisees, and salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I love what Billy Graham used to say. This was a long time ago. You can imagine the hatred you'd get today on TV, but they would ask him, do you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? And he would say, well, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And Billy Graham would say, that's what Jesus said. And I love that idea. Listen, don't carry the weight of theology on your shoulders. Let God take the blame. Amen? Let him carry it. And here's number 12. We will all stand before God to be judged. We will all stand before God to be judged and spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And spend eternity in either heaven or hell. Hebrews 9:27. Man is appointed to die once, and after that comes the judgment. Matthew 25:46. Jesus is talking about two destinies. Some will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The fundamentals of Christian theology says, kind of bringing it all together, that we'll all stand before God, and that we will spend eternity in one place or the other forever. Those things matter. So here's what I want to ask you this evening. I hope you embrace all those things. Are those things embracing you? I mean, you can have a great theology and die and spend eternity separated from God. If you don't know Christ tonight, come and give your life to Him this evening. You want to join this church tonight at the invitation or after church? We're going to look at the subject of the church in the days ahead. Church is very important. It's the body and bride of Christ. Come join us. You're a Christian tonight. Man, embrace the right beliefs, because the beliefs determine what you do. But man, live out your beliefs. Live them out. Let's stand. Wayne's going to lead us in a moment of invitation. If you need to respond this evening in any way, you come as we sing.